Well, good morning, Connection Point Church. Let me add my welcome to Rick's. It's really nice to be preaching to actual people because the last 3 months it's been me in my living room. And at first my girls were there so I could at least talk to them, but they got tired of not being able to fidget at all because it would get picked up on the recording and amplified. So they eventually abandoned me and they said, well, we'll watch you down in the basement. So they go down in the basement and they'd watch the live stream of me preaching in the living room. And so I'm just really happy not to be by myself in a living room right now. And I'm also really happy because since you're all wearing masks, if you're really mad at me about something that I'm saying, I won't know it. I'm just going to assume that you're all smiling and saying amens behind that mask. So today, today is a big win. So it's good to be here with you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for putting up with the inconvenience of wearing masks, but it's been really good to see each other. It's been really good. Not everyone has perfectly social distanced, and I won't say if I'm included in that number or not, but it's just really good to see you guys and to see your smiling faces. I think by looking at your eyes, I can tell that you're smiling. Well, today we are beginning a new series, and as we begin, I want you to imagine that you are a 13-year-old in the ancient nation of Israel, back when they were wandering in the wilderness, getting ready to enter the promised land, and Moses tells you to gather around because he's going to tell you how the world began. He's going to tell you where you came from. And so you're really excited because there's been times in your life where you wondered, yeah, where do I come from? Why do I exist? Have you guys ever wondered that? Maybe it's just me, but even when I was young, I remember laying in my bed at night trying to figure out, why do I exist? And actually, this weird question I was asking, a kind of a metaphysical question, why is there something instead of nothing? Because when I really think about it, it doesn't seem like there should be anything. Like, where did I come from? Well, I came from my dad, and he came from someone. But if you keep going back far enough, where did that person come from? And then where did the world come from? It seems like everything should have a beginning. And so at some point, there should have been nothing. And then I try to think about there being nothing, and I think, well, there'd just be this big empty space. But then I realize, no, there wouldn't even be space. Like, there shouldn't even be space. There should be, like, nothing. And then as soon as I get there, my mind, like, implodes and kind of melts down because I can't really grasp the concept of complete non-existence. And so if I'd been there in Israel and Moses would have said, gather around, I'm going to tell you where you came from, I would have been excited because now I'm going to find out. And so there I am, gathered around, listening to Moses. But then imagine that Moses told me a story that was in one of the books from the ancient times called the Enuma Elish. And he told this creation story about the god Marduk. This was a story that many people heard about. This is where you came from. Marduk was this new, young god, and he was very ambitious. And so Marduk, he killed the ocean goddess named Tiamat, and he split her corpse into two pieces. And he took one of the pieces, and he used it to make the sky as a roof. So when you look up at the sky, you are seeing part of what used to be the great goddess, Tiamat. And then Marduk used the other half of her corpse to form the earth, and he put her head into position, and he used it to form the mountains, and then he caused to flow like tears from her eyes, the rivers of the Euphrates and the Tigris. And so now Marduk is the mightiest of the gods, and that's why you were here, because of Marduk. Marduk created humans as a slave force for the gods. For thousands of years, religions have been trying to answer the question, where do we come from? Not just religions, philosophers and scientists, they've all been trying to answer the question, where did we come from? And it's actually a really important question, because if we don't know who created us, then we don't know why we're here, and we actually can't be certain what our purpose is. So some of the smartest people in all of history have shared their thoughts on where we came from. And so we just saw in the Enuma Elish that the world was created by Marduk because the gods needed a slave force. That's where we came from. If you look back into ancient Greek philosophy, the man named Thales, who's referred to as the father of philosophy, about 600 years before Christ, he said that everything is water. Everything came from water, and everything will go back to water. Well, not long after him, Plato said, well, we fell into this world from a world of what he called forms. And in that prior world, we had an existence without a body. That's how we got here. Aristotle said, no, there's this prime mover who doesn't know the world or love the world. He doesn't even know about the world. And unintentionally, he started in motion a chain of events as he sat around and did nothing but think about his thoughts. That's where we came from. A man thinking about his thoughts who accidentally started a chain of events into motion, and here we are. If you fast forward to today, we have contemporary scientists saying that a super dense ball of matter exploded, and out of the chaos of the explosion came this gooey mixture of organic compounds called primordial soup. And from that primordial soup came the first ever living organisms, cells, which over billions of years evolved to produce all life on Earth. So the problem that each of these people run into is that none of them were there to actually see what happened. No one was there to see what happened. The world started before any of us, so all anyone can do is try to come up with an educated guess based on the world around them. And this is where Christianity is different. Christianity is different because Christianity claims not to be guessing. Christianity claims to have a book that tells us what really happened, and this book was written by someone who was there. And not only was this book written by someone who was there, but it was written by someone who is still alive. And that book is the Bible, and the Bible claims to be written by God. 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God. And so when Moses told Israel the story of where they came from, he didn't tell the story of Marduk, and he wasn't guessing, because Moses had written down the very words of God. He wrote down the very words of God about where we came from, how we came to exist, and what was it that Moses told Israel? What does the scripture say? Well, for that, I'm going to invite Naomi to come on up. And Naomi is going to read to us the verse that we're going to be looking at today, the verse that's going to kick off our series. And she's going to answer the question, where did we come from? Come on up, Naomi.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Thank you.
That's right. Genesis 1:1, this is how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is God himself, through Moses, telling us where we came from. And God has a reason in doing this, and it's because God wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. And so the Bible, it's God's story. It's the story of who he is, what he is like, and it begins with God telling us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so normally in our series, I'm not just going to look at one verse. But this first verse is really significant, and there's two mind-blowing facts that this verse tells us about God, and that's where we're going to head this morning. I'm going to give you two mind-blowing facts about God. And the first mind-blowing fact is that in the beginning, God was already there. In the beginning, God was already there. God is before all things. Before there was anything, there was God. So there was a time when there was no globe. God was there. There was a time when there was no sun. There was a time when there was no mountains. There was a time when trees did not exist. But no matter how far back you go, God is still there. And this is kind of hard to understand because I know, all right, before my dad was alive, well, there was my grandpa. And before my grandpa, there was his grandpa. And then if you go way back, there was other Americans. And if you go further back, there was ancient nations like Rome, and if you go far enough back, you get to Adam, and even before Adam, there was something. You know, there was animals, and before animals, there was an ocean, and before there was an ocean, there was outer space, but before there was outer space, when there was nothing, God was already there. God is already there. The word we use to describe this is that God was eternal. No matter how far back you look into the past or how far forward you look into the future, God is there. He's eternal. And so you say, well, when I look all the way back into the past, how did God get there? I have no idea. We don't know how this works. It's starting to tell us God is different than us. God is bigger than what our minds can fully comprehend. Where did God come from? Well, he didn't come from anywhere. He had no beginning. Colossians 1:16 says, he is before all things. Now, this is just really different than us. So my daughter Becca is sitting on a chair. That chair is there because someone made it. It's really actually hard to try to imagine something that has no beginning. If you try to think of something not having a beginning, your brain can't quite figure it out, because like that chair, someone made it. We know it, that someone made it. That's why it's there. If we look outside and we see a tree, we know that at some point there was a seed, and that seed grew into a tree. But when we try to think about God and God never being made and God always existing, our brain has a hard time figuring out what's going on. And it's because God he's different. God is self-existent. He exists not because someone made him, but he exists because he has the power to exist. Get this. God can exist without creation. That's what we mean when we say God is self-existent. He can exist without creation. He's sufficient in himself. Now, that might be a weird word. God, Barry, what do you mean God is self-sufficient? Well, you and I, we need things in order to live, things that God doesn't need. So God doesn't need water to live. I remember my daughter Kayla once got really thirsty, and she said she was just dying of watervation, and she needed a drink. And it was just showing we need water to live, but God doesn't need water to live. God existed before there was water. We need food in order to live. Now God's not dependent on food. He existed before there was food. We need air. So the word for this, we are contingent. In other words, we're dependent on things like air and water to live. Just try holding your breath. If you wonder how dependent you are on something outside yourself, try holding your breath right now. I remember when we were on a road trip once, and all of a sudden I heard from the back of the car, this is a while ago when Rebecca was younger, she spoke up and she's like, I can hold my breath forever. I just need to take these little sips of air every so often. And we all laughed at her, because like, no, that means you're not holding your breath. You know, you might feel like you're holding your breath. But basically, the thought is maybe I can get by without air. No, you can't get by without anything. We're dependent creatures. God is very different than us. He doesn't require anything in order to live. He can exist without creation. And if God can exist without anything that's created, that means that God is distinct from creation. The physical universe that we can see, the physical universe that we can feel and we can measure, that is not all there is. There's also a spiritual dimension. There is also God, and you can't put God into a test tube. You can't put God into a measuring cup. You can't weigh him. You can't dissect him in a science lab. Science can only experiment with things that are a part of the physical universe. And God is distinct from the physical universe, even though, as we will see, he's holding it together. And so sometimes people say, well, I don't believe in God because I believe in science, and science hasn't shown me God. Well, those who disbelieve in God in the name of science would do well to note that if there is a God, as I believe there is, science wouldn't be able to detect him. If there is a God, science wouldn't be able to detect him. It would actually take a revelation. If God is distinct from creation, if God is spirit and not dependent on anything in creation, then the test tube's not going to work when it comes to God. God would need to make himself known. He would need to do something like maybe writing a book and saying, here's how the heavens and earth were made in the beginning. I did it. It would take something like that. It would take something like maybe God coming to earth and becoming a man so that we could see him, so that we could touch him, so that we could have some sort of assurance that there is, in fact, a God. And in fact, that is what God has done. He has given us a book, and he has come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And from time to time, God does something that breaks the laws of science. We call them miracles, to show that he still exists. Now, science doesn't know what to do with miracles because you can't take a miracle and put it in your lab and repeat it over and over to prove that it happens. But if there is a God who's distinct from creation, who created the earth, then we should expect a couple things. We should expect the earth to function according to the laws that he set up, and science does that. The earth is full of laws, full of order. We should be able to study that and learn something about the world. But if he is sovereign over the world, creator of the world, distinct from the world, we should also be able to expect that he could break into that world and change the laws or bend the rules whenever he wants to. Now, this isn't to say that science tells us nothing of God. Science is actually the study of God's handiwork. Science is the study of how God created the earth. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." When we look into the heavens, when we look into outer space, we're seeing the work of God's hands. When we study how this all works, when we study physics and we study chemistry, we're studying God's handiwork. And this is because, and this brings us to mind-blowing fact number two. The first mind-blowing fact was that in the beginning, God was already there. Second mind-blowing fact is in the beginning, God created everything. And here it's talking about our beginning, the universe beginning, not God's beginning. In the beginning, God created everything. When we see that phrase, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, the phrase heavens and the earth, it means everything. Everything that is seen and unseen, the vastness of space, the entire cosmos, and everything that's in it, and this should, now we get used to that growing up in the church, okay, God made everything. But when you really pause to think about it, that is a mind-blowing fact. Just go look at a sunset, go look into outer space, go look at a mountain, go look at a lake, go look at a tree. We can't even make a tree. As humans, God made everything. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read, God says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, calling them all by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. There's not just millions of galaxies, there's not just millions of stars, billions of galaxies. There's millions of galaxies that contain billions of stars each. God, he calls them all by name. All those stars by name, not one of them is missing, and it's because of God. This is telling us something about our God. He's telling us that he is powerful beyond anything we can imagine, powerful beyond any supercomputer, powerful beyond any machine that we can make. He's huge. He's huge to be able to make the entire universe. And you wonder, well, how did God make the universe? Like, if God was here before anything, then what materials did he use? If there was nothing else but God, what materials did God use to build the universe? Well, Psalm 33:6 tells us it's by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. And we'll see this more in the coming weeks when we see that, and God said, let there be light, and God said, and God said, and it was so. As God spoke, things came into being. God actually created out of nothing. I want you to try this. This will be a little bit ludicrous, but I just want you to remember this picture. So, kids, I want you to take your hand, and I want you to reach in front of you, and I want you to grab some nothing, and then take that nothing and make me a woodpecker. Just let there be a woodpecker. And, of course, that's dumb, and I get it. But what I want you to understand is that's exactly what God did. That's what God has the power to do, to take nothing and make it something, fact, quick, impromptu moment. That's how we actually become a Christian. That's how we become a believer. God takes a heart that has no love towards him, a heart that's dead, and God speaks to it, and he says, come to life, and our hearts come alive in Christ Jesus, and we're a new creation. God spoke the world into existence, and he speaks to us. He calls us, and he calls our Christian life into existence. God can create out of nothing. We owe our existence to God. He's actually the reason that we are here. If he had not made us, we would not be here. If he had not made us, there would have been no Marduk to create us. There would have been no prime mover. There would have been no water for everything to come from. We're here because of God. Without him, actually, the world would cease to exist. Not only would the world not have been made, the world would cease to exist. Now, if you look back into the ancient mythological creation accounts like the Enuma Elish, right, with Marduk, you look into those stories and from all eternity, there were gods and stuff, matter, like wood, material. And so they existed together, and so the gods would use that stuff to create the world. Well, that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that once upon a time, there was God, and there was no matter. There was nothing physical. God actually created the matter. Matter comes from God, and matter depends on God for its existence. We read in Hebrews 1:3, Christ upholds the universe by the word of his power. Not only did he speak it into existence by the word of his power, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Colossians 1:17, in Christ, all things hold together. Did you know that the reason that you don't just disintegrate and poof into nothingness right now is because Christ is holding you together? The reason that your atoms stay joined together and you don't just disintegrate is because Christ is holding you together. In fact, even when you make poor choices in life and God could just zap you, he's holding you together in that moment. His power is keeping you intact. Every time you take a breath because God is enabling that breath. I remember reading an article in the Christian satire site, the Babylon Bee, and the title of the article was, "What has God ever done for me?" asks man breathing air. Sources confirmed Tuesday that local freethinker Jared Olson called into question the absurd idea that God had ever done anything for him, all while inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide in a complex process well beyond his mind's capability of understanding in its entirety. The idea of God is really just holding us back, Olson opined, addressing the other members of the philosophy club at Edmonds Community College as the membrane across his larynx vibrated to modulate the flow of air from his lungs, making his speech audible to the people listening, whose intricate ear structures then instantly transformed the invisible sound waves into abstract thought in their brain's nervous tissue. Olson went on to pursue the line of reasoning even further, claiming that mankind has science, medicine, and mathematics to thank for its continued existence, rather than any sort of all-powerful creator for which there is absolutely no evidence. According to eyewitnesses, he made these claims as the surface his feet rested on continued to spin around the Earth's core without any input from him, all while the only known habitable planet on which he stood rocketed around the center of the galaxy in perfect formation at the unfathomable rate of 490,000 miles per hour. At one point during his expertly crafted speech, Olson reportedly glanced around the room to observe the nods of approval from his peers. His eyes hundreds of millions of cone and rod cells responding to stimuli in an unimaginably sophisticated procedure. As these elaborate structures continued to capture and process an unbelievable volume of input per second, Olson reported he was all the more confident from the looks of those around him that he had proven his case. According to Olson, he plans to detail religion's negative influence on society at next week's meeting, which is being held in the annex adjacent to both a Christian homeless shelter and a Catholic hospital. All that stuff is happening because God's holding us together. That stuff is not an accident. It's not random. The reason that's happening, the reason science works, the reason science functions is because God first worked, is because God continues to work. Science functions because God functions. When we study science, we're studying the hand of God. In him, all things hold together. So you say, Barry, okay, that's great. God made the earth. Fun to think about. What difference does this make? What difference does it really make for me to know that? How does this affect our lives? And I would like to tell you this morning that it makes a big difference. Makes a huge difference. In fact, even atheists know this. Bertrand Russell, one of the most famous philosophers of the 20th century, he was an atheist. And here's what he said. Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. He's saying, if there's no God that created you, then you've got no specific purpose. And he's arguing that there is no God, and so there is no specific purpose for you. One pastor writes, if there was no God, we would all be accidents, the result of astronomical random chance in the universe. You could stop reading this book because life would have no purpose or meaning or significance. There would be no right or wrong. If there's not a God to say what's right and wrong, who's to say what's right and wrong? He says, there would be no right and wrong, no hope beyond your brief years here on earth. But there is a God who made you for a reason, and your life has profound meaning. We discover that meaning and purpose only when we make God the reference point of our lives. See, if there were no God, that means you were created by accident. And if you were created by accident, then you're not here for any particular reason. And that's why many people today who don't believe in God say that you need to create your own meaning. You weren't created for any particular meaning, so you need to create your own meaning. So look deep inside you to figure out who you are and let that guide you. And that's how you be authentic. You discover who you are by determining your own meaning for your life, and you live true to that purpose that you create. But if Genesis 1, verse 1 is true, then God is the creator, and we are his creation, and the creator determines the purpose of that which he created. So there's a chair sitting right there, and the chair was created for someone for a reason. It was created for someone to sit on it. The chair, if it were alive, couldn't say, well, I was just created by accident. I can be whatever I want. I'm going to be a football player. No, the chair was created for a purpose, and the creator determines the purpose for which the created thing was created. So that means, since God created us, God has the right to determine what life for us is all about. And so this means we don't look inside ourselves to find meaning. We look up to find meaning. If you want to know why you are here, you must begin with God. Don't start by looking inside yourself. Start by looking up to God. And so, as we move towards the conclusion this morning, when we ask this question, what's life all about? Why are we here? I'd like to direct your attention to Colossians 1:16. All things were created through him and for him. All things were created for him. Speaking of Christ, The Bible says that by Christ all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so what I want you to catch in these verses is that you were created for Christ. And so if I can just leave you with one thing this morning, it's this. You were created by God, so live for Christ. When you live for Christ, that is actually true authenticity. It's living truly according to what you were designed to be. It's living truly according to your purpose. C.S. Lewis says, "The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become, because he made us." You want to truly be yourself? It comes when you live for God. It comes when you live for Christ, because you were created for him. The God of the universe, out of an overflow of love for his son, that love spilled over into the creation of the earth so that more people could exist to love his son with him. We were created out of an overflow of love designed to live to the glory of God. And so I ask you this morning, who is it that you're going to live for? Are you going to live for yourself? Or are you going to live for God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We were created by God with a purpose. And so I implore you this morning to make the decision, no matter what your age, to make the decision that from this day forth, I'm going to live for God. From this day forth, I'm going to live in accordance with my design. I'm going to live out true authenticity by devoting my life to Christ. Genesis 1:1 doesn't give the whole story, but ultimately when we pan back in Scripture, we see that God continues to reveal himself. He continues to show, here's what it looks like to follow me. But things spring into focus with the most clarity when Christ comes to earth, because that is God himself here on earth. And Jesus says, follow me. He claims to be God and he says, follow me. And so if you're going to live for Christ, it's going to mean that you're going to put your trust in Christ, that you're going to seek to obey him, that you're going to seek to live for him, and that you're going to embrace what he did for you on the cross. You're going to embrace that on the cross, he took the pain for all the times when we've not lived for God. He took the punishment for all those times we didn't live for God. This was God himself coming and actually beginning a process where he remakes us, because as we'll see moving on in Genesis, things started out very good, but they turned south. And sin entered the world, and death entered the world, and decay entered the world. But God's got a plan to remake heaven. He's going to remake our hearts. He's going to remake the earth. And it's our job to trust him, to follow Christ, and to walk in faith until that moment comes when everything exists in newness. And there is a day coming when, once again, God will create the heavens and the earth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would awaken in the heart of every person here a determination to live for Christ. A determination not to determine our own meaning, not to look inside ourselves to figure out what authenticity is, but that we would look up to our Creator and we would see your glory. We recognize that we've been made for a purpose, and the way to truly be who we are is to give ourselves fully to this God who created us from a heart overflowing in love for his son, a heart that's overflowed in love for us and his creation. God, enable us to live for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.